Hey guys, this is Chris.
And this is Dustin, and we're with Sanctus Real.
And we'd like to welcome you to the podcast with our friends, Ted and Jared. We were fortunate enough to spend some time on the front lines with Ted in Nicaragua.
And we know you'll be blessed by what these guys have to say. So welcome to Flawed Clay.
It's really exciting to be here, to be in Nicaragua, to have the fresh breezes and see the volcanoes all around us. So you're getting us, you know, at the really leading edge. And I invite anybody who wants to have, you know, an experience of God and a cross-cultural experience to give it a shot and come down.
Welcome back to Flawed Clay. My name is Jared Easley, and joining me again, of course, is Ted Rogers. Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Great, Jared. How are you doing this evening?
I'm having a blast. I always love recording with you. The last episode we recorded with your son, Teddy, and just had a great time. Really enjoyed hearing his perspective about what's going on. And you didn't want to stop there. You said, hey, we're in, you know, in this little time of having guests. So you've brought on another guest.
Absolutely. We have John Rodriguez with me tonight, and he's one of the volunteers that's been serving alongside the ministry for several years. He has a team there from Palo Alto, California, and they've been faithfully serving alongside the ministry for several years now. So I thought, wow, it'd be great. I'd get a night off, and then somebody else would get to hear, the people listening would get to hear somebody else's voice. So it's kind of a win-win for everyone.
Well, whether that's the case or not, we are grateful that John has decided to, you know, hang out with us for a little bit. So, John, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. So, John, one of the things we usually try to start out with in most episodes is a scripture. And you said you're willing to share a scripture that's spoken to you. And maybe if you'd be willing to not just read it, but maybe share a little bit of what that means to you. And then we can go from there.
Sure. Well, I think both myself and my wife, Jennifer, have always been struck by passages in the Bible that talk about ministering to the poor and the needy, or people who are, you know, in whatever way less fortunate than you. And the fact that that's so important to God and it's close to his heart, and those people are close to his heart. And then as you minister, you realize you're in the same state as they are, and it really affects you. But anyway, one verse that really struck me as we were studying and learning about this years ago was Matthew 25, 35 through 40. And it comes in the middle of a parable that Jesus is teaching about the sheep and the goats and the people that, you know, Jesus is really welcoming into his kingdom. And so the people he's welcoming into his kingdom, he says, starting in verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And I think, you know, that really struck me and my wife. You know, it was a pretty formative verse for us, thinking about when we minister to people in whatever situation they're in, we're ministering to Jesus, and we're ministering to people that are close to Jesus's heart.
Amen. So, John, I want to hear about how you first got involved with Brazos de Amor.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting story. Our church has some historic connections with the headquarters organization. We had a person from our church move away from our area. You know, the cost of living is pretty high, so we get people moving to different parts of the country, and they move to where the head offices are and join the staff. And that was the first hint we got about the organization. So we were at the point of forming a missions team. We had some missions teams go to various places where we had connection, and we were looking for an opportunity to go do missions, to send a team to, you know, somewhere in South Central America. And so, you know, we found out about Brazos de Amor, and, you know, there's a lot of interest in our church. And the way I got involved, you know, the person who's leading it did a presentation and talked about the ministry. And, you know, I was really struck by the way that the ministry really tries to be in the country, run by the people who are in the country, and, you know, and really be kind of in the culture of the country, but yet bring the gospel in that context. And I think also my wife and I have a heart to minister to Spanish-speaking people. I mean, we just love Spanish. We love the language. I like to sing in Spanish. I like to lead worship in Spanish. And so, you know, as we were thinking about going on the mission trip, you know, that initially attracted us. And when we came down here, though, I mean, we were really, I'd say really blessed by the atmosphere and the people who minister here and by the whole organization. I mean, there's just a real sense of care and humility among the people here. And I think it's very easy to be humble when you do youth work and work with kids, because working with, you know, kids especially who maybe come out of or certainly come out of difficult situations, you know, you find yourself really having to lean on God in so many ways, because, you know, our own not leaning on our own understanding is pretty clear, because we have no idea what to do. And so the people that have, the staff and the people that are here are people that are really high quality people. They're really loving and patient. And, you know, we just really enjoyed the atmosphere too here. I mean, they've got a really great facility, and it's really welcoming. It's got a good feel, especially for people who are taking their first steps into cross-cultural ministry. I think there's a lot of support. And, you know, like I said, the facility, even though it's got its little hardships, you know, the things about it that are a little bit of a stretch for people, which is good, actually. It still really feels safe. It gives you an opportunity to focus on reaching out to people. So when we came down here the first time, I mean, I loved the people. I loved working with the youth here. We really enjoyed the staff. We enjoyed the country itself, you know, kind of the rawness of Nicaragua and kind of the wildness of the country. So, you know, all of those things really appealed to me when I came down here. And so as it developed, I ended up coming the next year. And that year, our team ended up doing a staff retreat for the staff, because we really felt a heart for youth ministers. And there are a lot of people on our team at that point who had done youth ministry either currently or in the past. And so that was really life-giving for us to try and serve cross-culturally the staff, not only the youth, but the staff. And we've continued to do that year after year, which is minister both to them and to us, because it's formed a real bond, because you're just brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, seeking to humbly bring the word of Christ and support people who are involved in an important and a hard work in, you know, Nicaragua and in a Central American country.
Yeah, and I think that this is a special part of the relationship with John and his church that they bring down, is a certain care and an understanding for the staff, knowing that they are grinding day in and day out, and they really have a care for pouring into the staff and trying to continue to equip them and encourage them. So it's a special relationship that they have. Yeah, you know, I can clearly see it. And then the other part, I wanted to say that it was like within the first 20 minutes that I had arrived on site that John and the team were here. John already had his guitar in his hand singing Spanish music. So that was not a joke.
That's awesome. All right, so John, for someone who's listening who hasn't been to Nicaragua, they haven't been to Brazos de Amor, can you just kind of describe what a trip has been like? You know, not necessarily in super detail, but what are some expectations? What are things that happen when you come down?
I think, you know, when you come down, you're kind of in I guess you call it a third world country, certainly, you know, one of the poorer countries in the Western Hemisphere. And so, you know, you come down and you're a little nervous, but you're immediately welcomed by the team and the driver, and you drive in this big yellow school bus to the Brazos site. I think you experience and you can kind of see a country where there's a huge gap between rich and poor. There's a lot of needs in the country, a lot of opportunities for development. I think you also see a lot of very relational people, though. When you come here, people are very warm and welcoming. And, you know, when you come to the Brazos de Amor site, It's pretty surprising how well developed and how solid just the site has been. You know, the buildings are very stable and solid, and you feel very safe and comfortable here. You know, given the roughness of being in Nicaragua, you know, we don't have hot water here, so it's cold water showers, but it's certainly not like resort living. But, you know, it's certainly comfortable in its own way. And so it's a way kind of to get an experience of a third world country, but yet be in a situation that really feels safe and welcoming and really frees you up to focus on ministry and focus on loving people.
John, what's going to be happening on this particular trip?
Well, this trip, we're doing the retreat again. And each year, one of our kind of secret goals is to have more and more Nicaraguan content and more Nicaraguan speakers involved. And so we're happy to have one of the local Nicaraguan board members running content and doing the majority of the focus content and support for the staff. And so we're providing, you know, support for the retreat site, providing some music, some worship, and some devotional time. But we really felt having a Nicaraguan providing the content really allowed for a denser set of content, more valuable content, to be able to go to the staff here. And that's really always been our goal. So that's something we're doing here. We're running the enrichment programs in the community care program. So community care is the outreach that Brazos does to the local community, to kids in need in the local community. And it's a combination of a feeding program, educational program, and an enrichment program, you know, with tutoring. And so it's we've been watching that grow over the past couple of years, and it's been exciting to see. So we're going to be running programs with 50 kids and youth, all the way up to youth, over the next couple of days as well. I'm doing some stories and worship and games. They're out of school, so there's less tutoring this week. And, you know, we're also doing some community outreach events, and Brazos has really taken the initiative to get their resident youth, the youth who are living on site, involved in the planning. So we just today had a planning session with a group of youth from Brazos de Amor, residents who've been here for many years, and did a lot of brainstorming, figuring out what we could do as an outreach to the community. Last year, we did a health focus outreach and talked about teeth brushing and good food. This year, we're developing a theme. I think it's going to be a biblical theme, talking about, you know, God taking care of you in difficult situations. So that's kind of a taste of some of the things we're doing. And then we'll have some fun too mixed in. It's always exciting. There's Nicaragua is a land of volcanoes. And so we're going to do a side trip and an evening trip, take a couple hours and go see an active volcano that's local, which you don't get to see in North America or the United States. Certainly, they keep you way, way back from those kind of things. So it's exciting to see those kind of things here.
Oh, that's going to be a blast. Also, I'm interested in hearing, what are some things that you've learned when you go back home? You know, because that experience can be really amazing. And then you go back home and it can be real easy to kind of fall back into the U.S. pattern of lifestyle or whatever. So I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, for us, obviously, when you see people living with much less than, you know, the typical North American, but yet be happy and fulfilled, it certainly speaks to your heart about what is really necessary in order to live the good life. You know, I think that's something that, again, is a priority for my wife and I. We live in the Silicon Valley, and it's very easy to be focused on, you know, the gods of money and influence and power and even intelligence and, you know, wanting to be perceived as clever or a world changer in the, you know, through technology. And I think going into a situation like this where people are reaching out, loving, where God is at work, and seeing that happening in a much different context really is something that we can take home and helps us have some perspective as we try to live a godly life and a life that, you know, Christ would have us live in, you know, a difficult place to live. And again, it helps us with the verse I read at the outset of this podcast, where, you know, if you're not focused on the naked and hungry, on the people in prison or the stranger, then if you just walk by them and focus on, you know, your own self-aggrandizement, you're walking away from the kingdom and walking away from an experience of ministering to and with Jesus. So those are some areas. And, you know, a real specific way for us is, you know, we looked at we sat back and said, okay, you know, we've done ministry in Nicaragua. What's a way that we can impact our area? And one area that we've noticed is our area has a real problem with cost of living, especially for housing. It's extremely expensive in the San Francisco Bay Area to even rent an apartment, and there's a homeless problem there. And so we had an apartment area, you know, it was basically a converted garage, and we converted that into more of a true apartment. You know, we disconnected it from our house and made it a separate living space, and we partnered with a local ministry to house a homeless woman there. And so we took a woman who had been living in a tent for 18 months and gave her a place to live. And, you know, now her daughter is able to be with her, which was never possible before. So I won't say that it hasn't been free of hiccups. And whenever you're doing ministry or, you know, even, I mean, we're allowing the ministry that we're partnering with to do the social work side of it. So we're just acting as landlords. But even that sometimes can be complicated, but God has really worked through it and I think blessed us through that.
You know, one of the things that I always say, Jared, I just, and this may not be, you know, reality, but it's reality to me, is I say, if your ministry doesn't have like problems, if it's not hard, if there's not hiccups, then it's not a ministry. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not a ministry, because ministry is tough, you know, because you're helping people break out of, you know, the cycle of poverty and helping them, you know, to engage relationship with Christ and trying to guide them and break old habits and break sin patterns. And so I don't ever think that I cringe when people are like, yeah, the pastor has too easy of a job of a church. 'Cause I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, he has so much responsibility, you know. The last thing I think I could do would be pastor a church.
Well, Matt, while you're not pastoring a church, you're certainly leading, you know, the ministry there, and that has its own blessings and challenges, as we've discussed on the podcast. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, another thing that I love that John said, and then I hold the rest of my comments, and I think John's going to play something for us, but is I love what John said about his, what kind of ministry they have going on at their home, because a majority of the teams, the day before they leave, I say, hey, please let me encourage you in this. Like, a life of a Christian isn't about going to church every Sunday and going on a mission trip once a year. Like, God specifically calls us into ministry throughout our whole lives as a Christian, and calls us into mission every day, wherever we find our feet. So like, we're always at work for him. We don't go to work for Christ on Sunday and then 1 week out of the year when we go. Like, we need to be on mission every day of our life, whether it's at our job with our other employees, or whether it's at the grocery store, the gas station. Like, you can always glorify Christ wherever you're at. And that's, you know, as I mentioned with Teddy, that's why God created us, to bring glory to him and to serve him. And, you know, how wonderful it is and refreshing for me to hear John say that, because that's encouraging to me that people are doing that, you know, after they leave here, and not just looking at this as like a ministry vacation trip. So,
right.
Awesome.
All right, John, okay. Let's have a song
out here.
Tell me about the song.
I think I'll do an excerpt.
So just so you know,
yep.
Sanctus Real does our opening music for the podcast, Flawed Clay.
Okay.
They blessed us with the rights to one of their songs.
Wow.
So if you can, you know, play a Sanctus Real quality song, that you just got to get there, and then, okay, and then we're good.
No pressure is what we mean.
Not at all.
All right. I think, why don't we, let's see, we could do, you know, so there's either we could do the Abre Mis Ojos, which is the one that kids like. That's one of the ones the kids really like, and it's a classic one.
I say yes.
Or we could do Oceans, which is more of a Hillsong one.
Let's go with the kids.
Yeah, let's see.
And they do, just amazing how John and his wife and the team are able to engage our kids into worship. It's always a beautiful thing to see.
Amen.
Yeah, all right, just making sure I have it. All right, let me figure out my pitch here, my key. All right, let's give it a shot.
Hey, John, what's the name of the song again?
Abre mis ojos.
And what does that mean?
Open my eyes. So it's open the eyes of my heart is the English version.
Okay.
So we'll see how the volume works. I could either do it with or without a pick. So we'll try. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo. Abre mis ojos, te pido. Yo quiero verte. Yo quiero verte. Abre mis ojos, oh Cristo. Abre mis ojos, te pido. Yo quiero verte. Yo quiero verte y contemplar tu majestad y el resplandor de tu gloria. Derrama tu amor y poder cuando cantamos santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Yo quiero verte. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, santo, santo. Santo, 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 yo quiero verte. Yo quiero verte. Yo quiero verte.
Amen. Awesome.
Wow, that was awesome. Thanks, John.
Sure.
Hey, Jared.
All right, so go ahead.
You just got more Spanish in the last two episodes than you did like the first six.
You know, if anything, it's kind of taking me back to when I was there. And, I really want to reinforce this to people that haven't had a chance to do a mission trip like, you know, going to Nicaragua or experiencing what you do at Brazos de Amor on a short-term trip. I really hope that listening to this, they'll be encouraged to look into that. I guess that's a follow-up question I have for you, Ted, is we've touched on this before, but there may be some people listening saying, hey, you know, I really do want to make plans to come down and serve and help out. And how can they start that process?
Yeah, we have so many ways that people can get involved. And so I always just want to stress, like, God has given us all, like, passions, gifts, talents, things that he wants to use us for. And so nobody is short of things to contribute. And so I want to say that first. So don't think, well, you know, I don't have any special skills. You do have some special skills. You do have gifts that God gave you from the day you were born. So we'll throw that to the side and say, this is the way to do it. Go to www.armsoflove.org and there's a tab that will say volunteer and you just click on that. And it'll connect you to most likely our director in the States. And then you can have those conversations. Of course, I'm always free to start those conversations as well. You can email me at ted@armsoflove.org, or you can catch up with me as always on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Ted Kelly, Teddy Rogers. And so please reach out if you ever would love to serve. You know, I've seen a lot of people's lives changed by coming down here just for a week, and the way that they go back to their home church or their home city or state and just impact the kingdom there has been really encouraging. So just as John's story went, of course, that didn't happen through the ministry here, I don't think, but it happened. And he sees that now. And it's amazing. We love that. So please, if you have any questions, any, you know, want to be here to serve, please reach out to us.
Ted, we'd like to ask John for any final thoughts to close us out.
I'm really excited because, see, I'm at the leading edge of a week here. And, you know, it's something that we spend quite a bit of time prepping for, getting the materials. And it's really exciting to be here, to be in Nicaragua, to have the fresh breezes and see the volcanoes all around us. So you're getting us, you know, at the really leading edge. And I invite anybody who wants to have, you know, an experience of God and a cross-cultural experience to give it a shot and come down here.
Absolutely. John, there may be someone listening that wants to say hello, or is there a way they can contact you, maybe on social media or email?
Yeah, you can send an email to johnr99@gmail.com. And that's an email address for me. I'm not a big Facebook guy, so that's probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Okay, fair enough. Well, John, I really do hope that the rest of the trip goes great. Again, thank you for serving. And Ted, as always, it's a privilege to speak with you, brother.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be able to do this with you.
He's the brokenhearted, sets the captives free, and walks an extra mile, even for your enemies. This is love.
Subscribe to the podcast now to make sure you get every new episode of Flawed Clay.